translation. Suddenly, due to their feelings of separation, Lord Krishna appeared among the gopis dressed in yellow garments and wearing a flower garland. His lotus face was smiling, and he was directly attracting the mind of Cupid. Purport. This verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:32:2. When the rasa dance was going on, Krishna suddenly disappeared, and the gopis became so overwhelmed due to his separation and their intense love for him that Krishna was obliged to appear again. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyanandana Salakya Shakshuran Minitam Yena Tasmai Sigurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Darati Swaparantikam Vandeham Sri Gurau Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaisnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivisakan Pitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindha Dinabanda Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kansana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Visavanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatrubhyacha Kripasindubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siya Dvaita Gadada Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So by our constitutional position, we are always dependent at every stage of our life. We are dependent both in our material life and in our spiritual life. There's no question of being self-satisfied in the true sense of the term. Right? Not possible. We always need some external source for our satisfaction. That is our nature. And looking for many external sources again and again, because the difficulty is that there is a great variety of external sources, but they don't satisfy. That is the problem. Then try something else. And something else, or someone else, or like this. Again and again, we are trying to satisfy our inherent nature. Because the living being is by nature anandamai bhyasat, always looking for pleasure. And that pleasure is not found in independence, but that pleasure is found in dependence. Dependence on Krishna, of course. Krishna, however, he is the supreme independent personality of Godhead. He is Atmaramasa Munayo Nirgantya Pyurukrame. He is Atmaram. He is satisfied within himself. So Krishna, he doesn't require to breathe. He doesn't require to eat. He doesn't require to drink. He doesn't require a shelter. He doesn't require anything. We're seeing that Arjuna is on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Senior Ubayor Majay, between the two armies, and he's Visidantan. He is lamenting, whereas Krishna is Prahasan. Krishna had this smile in the middle of a battlefield, because Krishna is not affected. He is totally transcendental. He's nirapeksha. He's not at all affected by any material circumstance whatsoever, because he's independent within his own happiness. That is Krishna. And yet, the astounding thing is that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, became affected. And that the feelings of separation that the gopis were going through were so overpowering that Krishna was forced. There was no choice. He was forced. He was simply forced. Why forced? Because it is said, mukti dadati bhakti na karichit, that I'll give you liberation, Krishna says. That I'll give you. You want? Yes, take. I'll give you. Yes. Bhakti? No, I don't have to give. Krishna, what you are hiding behind your back? Nothing. What is that there? Oh, that bhakti, yes, can we have that? So Krishna does not very easily give devotional service. He does not very easily give bhakti. But in the case of a devotee who serves Krishna, Krishna becomes purchased. That is the nature of devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami describes pure devotional service, the characteristics of pure devotional service. And he describes that pure devotional service is Sri Krishna Akarsani, or can attract Krishna. Now we might be saying, yeah, but okay, who is engaging in pure devotional service? That is not very common. Right? Some rare devotee, we also read in commentaries on the nectar of devotion, that those who have Krishna Prem, they are Sri Krishna Akarsani, they can attract Krishna. However, there are also references where it is explained that Krishna will notice any service and reciprocate with any service, and that every little bit of service has the power to attract Krishna, and that is the whole principle of devotional service. This process of bhakti is by no means a mechanical process. It is not if you chant a certain number of rounds, then the light will go on. It is not that if we simply follow four regulator principles and 16 rounds, everything is automatically done. No, that of course has the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, who particularly formulated these vows that we take based on on scripture. In the 16th chapter of the first canto, we see how Kali was given, after he surrendered to Maharaj Pariksit. Maharaj Pariksit found Kali, had just... there was the bull with the broken legs. Kali is standing there with the stick, and Maharaj Pariksit is ready for action, sword drawn. Kali falls at his feet and now takes shelter. Then he becomes Praja. He becomes the living being that has the right to exist. Praja has the right to exist. That what is born has the right to exist. So now what to do? So this is a complication. Kali had to live somewhere. But where? All right, you can stay in these four places with these four activities of adharma are going on, the four illicit activities, there you can stay. So it is said that as long as these four regulative principles are not followed, then we are under the influence of Kali. That is significant. Mm. So Srila Prabhupada formulated the four regulative principles. He brought down the 64 rounds, the 1 lakh, which are mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preferred number, to 16 rounds. Srila Prabhupada put Krishna Prem on sale. It's a steal. Here, you can buy the full product, the original, no copy, just the original Krishna Prem, the same that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, but instead of paying 64 rounds, you're getting it now for minimum 60. You can't get any cheaper than that. And it's been on sale for a long time. You know, there are still buyers. Yes. So that is the special mercy. So these vows, however, if we perform them on automatic pilot and combined with the morning program, the sacred, the holy, the morning program, is then for many, that's Krishna consciousness. Somehow or other, 16 rounds and the morning program, that's ideal Krishna consciousness. And somehow or other do that. And sometimes I come somewhere in a house and they chant every song. Right? Every song, they go through the whole thing because that must be done. But Krishna consciousness is not merely ritualistic. Krishna consciousness is more. It is about making an effort. Yes, morning program, but how are we going to perform it? What are we going to put in? Right? Are we just going to stand there for the sake of going? I have sometimes seen in India some satsang, and the people sit there. They're like, whoa. And they are really, the audience is suffering. The lecture is dry, right? It is dry. Panditji is speaking very dry. But the audience is suffering, and the audience is going through it for the asirbat, for the blessings, you see. So now it's just collecting blessings, spiritual life. But no, we don't want blessings alone. We want only one type of blessings. We want to purchase Krishna. That is what we're doing it for, to purchase Krishna. Yes, how to purchase Krishna? Obviously, the Chaitanya Charitamrita here is describing that. That is the topic. The topic that is being discussed is how to purchase Krishna. Yes, so it is this intense eagerness to serve Krishna, and then one develops an attachment. It begins with service. Then devotional service is of such a nature that it causes attachment. So it is said, in the beginning, we become attached to the service, and then we become attached to Krishna. So in this way, we can go deeper and deeper in pleasing Krishna. And that's it. There is a description in the Nectar of Devotion about dasya, about servitorship. And it is subdivided in a general category, and in a particular category. The general category means just whatever is ordained in Scripture that can be done as the realm of devotional service. Then there is another level, and that is kinkar. And kinkar means to serve as a personal attendant. So in other words, to do exactly what Krishna needs, according to the Kaladesa Patra, according to the time, place, and circumstance. We can offer fruit juice, we can offer water, we can offer tea, we can, herbal, and we can, I have to be careful what I say here, herbal tea, of course. We can offer milk, it's okay. It's bona fide, actually. So we have all these varieties of things that we can offer. But what does Krishna need in a particular time and circumstance? That's kinkar. Kinkar serves Krishna according to his specific needs at a specific time. This is the higher principle. Higher. Then, otherwise it's just, let us serve Krishna according to the to whatever is authorized in the scripture, right? So, okay, as broad as possible, right? Because, okay, there is Hare Krishna, you know what I mean? It's, you see these horses sometimes in the city, and they got these blinds on, you know, and they walk with blinds so that the horses don't get. So we have Hare and Krishna, the mantra, and they walk with our blinds, and outside of the blinds is Maya, and Maya is waiting for you. Now the difficulty is when you look through your fingers, like... A little peek, right? A little peek. Yes. And from one peek comes another peek. And from that, you know, comes so many things. Yes. Shravanam kirtanam keli prakshanam guyam asanam. So, it is said, hearing, speaking about illicit sex, sitting in secluded places, making plans to engage in illicit sex. There's a whole list of levels of that lead towards illicit sex, which takes us away from devotional service. Because ultimately, Srila Prabhupada stated that the entire world, the entire material world, is a backdrop for sex life. So that's something to think about. So sooner or later, when we go down the train of thought, the last coach is always the same one. It always winds up there. Yes. Unless we wind up with Krishna. Our focus needs to be strengthened. Time is short. But in order to strengthen the focus in Krishna consciousness, we need to find the motivation. Because this is the difficulty. We know. In India also, we used to travel on trains, and then the nice thing about traveling on trains in India used to be that people tell you their whole life, you know. You're on a 24-hour journey and you get these exchanges about lives, you know. So, and very open. Everyone would tell you their whole life. So sometimes I miss these train journeys, but what to do? there were long conversations. And people would inevitably raise the point, you know, but how can you follow all these things? Right? In other words, we know all these things. It's not that we never heard it. We heard, but how can you follow it all? That is the big question. So it's the motivation. We need to increase our focus. Yes, yes, yes. We want to. Do we? That is the question. The first question is, do we really want to be Krishna conscious? A little soul searching this morning. A bit early in the morning, but do we actually want to be Krishna conscious? Or, it's funny, isn't it? When you are going so far, I mean, look at us. We are walking around, clay on the nose, neck beads, some are shaved, we are wearing exotic clothing, we are not taking coffee, no tea, all these things we don't take, so many things we don't take, right? If anybody offers you something, can I read the label, please? This is our life. So we take it so far. And then we reach a point where we, within all that, try to flirt with Maya. Huh? Isn't that awkward? Think about that. It's strange. That we take it externally so far, and then internally we have resistance. We have resistance, actually. Yes. So, how to find the motivation? The motivation. So, when we are reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it certainly is not merely about gaining knowledge. It's not merely about understanding what the goal is. We have understood the goal is to attract Krishna by our unmotivated, uninterrupted service. That we have understood. And now the question is, how do we get there? That also the Chaitanya Charitamrita is giving us, because it gives us association. All these we are reading. In the Nectar of Devotion, again, we're reading that Srila Prabhupada is stating that when we read the books of Rupa Goswami and descriptions about Rupa Goswami, then we are associating with Rupa Goswami. Also in the Adi Purana, there is a similar statement about Krishna, saying that if we chant the name of Krishna, then we are associating with Krishna. So this is the point. We are associating here with all these eternally liberated personalities, with these great devotees, like Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai is not an ordinary personality. Ramananda Rai is not even a ordinary devotee. Ramananda Rai is obviously a fully liberated soul. That comes out very much in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We remember that Pradyumna Misra wanted to hear from Ramananda Rai. Now there's a discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai. Later on, Pradyumna Misra also wanted to hear what was being discussed between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. But when he went to the house of Ramananda Rai, then Ramananda Rai was busy. He was waiting. Then it took a long time. And he was waiting and waiting. Ramananda Rai was a governor, right? So, you know, in India, the house is also an office at the same time. Yeah? So there are always such magistrates, they have large houses, and there's always a portion where there's also office, and there are corridors with wooden benches, and you can sit forever on these wooden benches. I have experience. So we can visualize How Prajumna Misra was sitting on one of those wooden benches, waiting and waiting. Finally, a servant who had initially told him to wait was walking past again. So, any progress? Are we going to see him? No, he's still busy. He's actually very busy now. See what he is doing. He has written this play, this Jagannath Vallabha Natak. Now he's personally training these young girls. He is just not only training them, but he's dressing them. He was even bathing them, massaging their bodies with oil. So like, okay. And dressing them very nicely. Okay. And then making them do dance movements and so on. I see. When Pradyumna Misra finally met Ramananda Roy, Pradyumna Misra said to Ramananda Roy said, "Oh, I'm so blessed. A Brahmana has come to meet me. I'm so sorry, sir, that I kept you waiting. I was not aware. Please, how can I serve you? Is there anything I can do for you?" No, Pradyumna Misra said, "I'm fully satisfied just seeing you." He got out of there as quick as possible, went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and told him everything that Ramananda Roy was doing with the girls. And, you know, next thing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "That is Ramananda Roy." He can do such things. He can do such things. Even I cannot do. He said, "Even if I see the wooden form of a woman, there are changes in my consciousness." I said, "But Ramananda Roy, he's totally not affected." So here's Ramananda Roy living in his internal state of Krishna consciousness. We cannot imitate. If we think that Ramananda Roy is a role model, then we are putting ourselves in the position of the doer. Right? Then I'm going to crack it. This is my role model, and I'm going to become like him. You know, I heard that Boy George was here, and for some people in this world, Boy George is a role model. So, you know, they're all trying to be like little Boy Georges, but doesn't fully cut it, you know. They're still only the original. Are we going to try to be little Ramananda Roy's? I mean, it's hard. So, we can look at the personalities in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as role models, but we will at the same time encounter our own limitations. I'm getting old now, and I've actually my whole life been encountering my own limitations. This is the story of my life. I could call it, you know, meetings with my limitations. I could write that book if I would have the time. For something like that. But maybe I don't have to write it, because maybe we can write it all together. We can just do a writing session and all start jotting down, meeting with my limitations, called my life. Right. Yes. So here we are, encountering our own inability. What do you do? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Yes, yeah. Here we are. Trying to chant purely. Gosh, did it ever work? Did we actually ever chant one good holy name yet? Gotta think about that one. Anyway, so we're simply associating. We're associating with Ramananda Roy and the other great Parisat, the other great associates, eternal liberated associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, praying for their mercy. that somehow or other this Chaitanya Charitamrita is a reality. See, when we are looking at these kind of books, it's not just a book. The other day I was talking about it when we on a Sunday feast, you can hold up the Bhagavad Gita, visualize it, right? I know I'm not projecting a Bhagavad Gita there on a screen behind me. I know it's difficult. Actually, you have to see it in your mind. I know it's very hard instead of on a screen. But once in the old days, we used to imagine things. Nowadays, we just Google them. So those who need help can take their phones now and Google a Bhagavad Gita as it is and look at the picture. And this I'm holding up. And what is it? Some may say a book. Others may say the Bhagavad Gita. Some may say the Bhagavad Gita as it is. And like this, okay, well done, well done, well done. But it's more than that. It's a way of life. Okay? It's meant to be a life. My spiritual master, Jayadvaita Swami, His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami, has a way with words, right? So he did this seminar called The Hopes and Horrors of Household Life. Well, even before the seminar, it created a storm. You know, I mean, what kind of title is this? Who is he to say anything about household life? He was never married anyway. You know, what is he about the hopes and horrors? You know what I mean? And so there was definitely already quite some discussion before. Then there was the premiere of the seminar. It happened to be in Radadish at the time. I was on the way to go there, got stuck in traffic. I just reached, when it was over, the devotees were just all coming out of the lecture. And I heard one devotee say, "How was it? How was it? How was it?" Clearly also someone who had missed it. And then the devotee who came out said, "Ah, you know, all theoretical, just quotes from the scripture." That was such a revealing statement. It was so interesting. Because when the quotes of the scripture are theoretical, it means you're not following the scripture. Then it's theoretical. When we're living it, when we're following it, then it becomes real. Then it's no longer theoretical. So we're living. We're living the Bhagavad Gita. We are here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's clear that Lord Chaitanya's pastimes did not end 500 years ago. It is very clear that this is Lord Chaitanya's pastime, the Bhaktivedanta manner, and that there was a George Harrison, and that was all Lord Chaitanya's pastime, and that now there are all these devotees, and that we are here. That is Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Otherwise, why would we be here? We would be busy making money and enjoying the senses. Yes, that makes sense. Yes. Yes. So, in this way, we can see this is the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We are now, this movement is part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We are reading here the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. And how Srimad Bhagavatam, is, as the spotless Purana, the Amala Purana, is their main source. Their main source for discussion topics. And then how they live with this Srimad Bhagavatam. And how they themselves imbibe this mood. And of course, the Gaura Ganadish Deepika from Kavi Karnapur gives us the dual identities of all the personalities, the identity in Gaura Lila, the identity in Krishna Lila, and we see Vrajendranandanye, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. Ramananda Rai in Gaura Ganadesh Deepika is identified as Lalita. However, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta identified him as Vishakha and Sarup Damodar Goswami as Lalita. So, in this way, we can appreciate what is behind Ramananda Rai. Lalita and Vishakha are the principal sakis amongst the astasakis. So here Krishna, in his final pastimes, now he's in the Madhya Lila, but eventually he spends his final pastimes with Sarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Roy. Krishna. Not only Krishna, but Radha and Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nayanya, with Lalita and Vishakha. So, it is said that there are two aspects in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. On the one hand, there is tattva, and the tattva, or the exact nature of things, is very much crystal clear in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is like, in great detail, the theology of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beliefs of Gaudiya Vaishnavism are outlined. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentioned that there are various Vaishnav Sampradayas, and the various Vaishnav Sampradayas are studying various literatures. For example, the Sri Sampradaya is focusing on the Vishnu Purana. That is their principal Purana. The Gaudiyas are particularly focusing on the Bhagavatam. That is our book. But the Madhva has also commented on the Bhagavatam. So we cannot claim the Bhagavatam as our unique property. But the Chaitanya Charitamrita we can claim that that is the unique property of the Gaudiyas. It is there where the voice of the Gaudiyas is heard, and what the Gaudiya understanding is. When we end with Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see that Srimad Bhagavatam is, that Sankirtan is being mentioned there. First of all, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is mentioned, Krishna Varnam, Tvisa Krishnam, Sangam Pagasta Parasadam. It is said now he appears as A Krishna in a blackish form along with his associates, and he introduces Sankirtan Yajna, and those who are intelligent, Sumedha Saha will take to it, and so on. So he's there. Then the final verse, or the final chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 12th canto, is glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the nature of the chapter. But the final verse is then glorifying Harinam Sankirtan as the process for attaining perfection in life. So we can see that everything is aligned in Srimad Bhagavatam with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. But then, that last verse of Bhagavatam and those few verses of the 11th canto fluffed out, and actually seeing how the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Katanchina Smite Yasmin Duskaram Sukaram Bhavet, how by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, difficult things become easy, and without his mercy, easy things are difficult. Then, not only the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but the mercy of each of his devotees, who have added their mercy. And in this way, Srila Prabhupada, who's added his mercy, who's added his prayers, who's added his arrangements, a network all over the world, I mean, it's pretty easy. You just, you go to krishna.com, and there it is. the addresses around the world, right? And you just rock up and say, "Where's Prasad?" It's like wherever you go in the world, it's pretty easy. You can find a place. Oh, it's amazing. Our Bhadri Narayan Swami is saying how he wanted to go somewhere where Krishna consciousness did not reach. So he looked on the world map. Then he said, New Guinea. I'll go to New Guinea. Well, New Guinea, cannibals, you know, maybe some Sankirtan devotees went there, but maybe they didn't come back. So, you know, it's such a place. But, so Maharaj was attracted. He went to New Guinea, and of course he flew into the capital city, and after a long flight, went to the hotel. And the receptionist in the hotel was reading Prabhupada's book. There it is, okay. Krishna consciousness has reached everywhere. I myself, you know, I used to travel, used to go. I went once with my, when it's in the Grihastha Ashram, I went to, with my former wife, to Bangkok. I arrive on the airport, one man comes and says, "Hey, go, go, girl, go, go, girl." I said, "Come on. I'm with my wife." He says, "Go, go, boy." I go, you know, "Go away." Go. You know. God, it's too much, right? But then we, in those days, there was no temple in Bangkok. But we had an address of some Indian name, some man. So we went there. So come to one shop, you know, the address, some Indian man. And we're dressed in regular clothes. And we say, but we said to the man, "Hare Krishna." He said, "Wait. Wait, wait." You know, how they can do, you know. Then he went to the side of the counter, and we stood in front of the counter. Suddenly he pushes a button, pulls a cord, and it goes, "Govinda Adi Purusham." And there were deities above the counter. And it was so nice, you know, like, oh God, in this ocean of misery, miserable, sinful activities, oh, these deities are here, oh, a devotee, oh, we loved him. Right there, it was wonderful. Yes. So it is a wonderful movement. Now, dear devotees, let us focus. Somehow or other, let us focus. Let us increase our focus. Let us, it's not just reading. Are you reading? Yes. Okay. How long are you reading every day? Are you filling up sadhana sheet? Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. Put your sadhana. Have you ticked your reading box? How many minutes have you put in your reading box? I want to know. Yes. I'm checking, Yes, checking sadhana sheet. Oh, looks good. Reading box is ticked. Very good. Okay. It's more than ticking the reading box. You know, it's got to start ticking in your chest, you know, like do-do-do-do-do, little excitement. This is so nice. This is nice, actually. Here we are. Are learning what love is all about. Right? And by associating with Ramananda Rai, some of his ecstasy, some of all that love of these associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spills over in the pages. That is the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The prema spills over in the pages. Therefore, let's read it and read it and read it, because, my dear devotees, we may find some motivation there. Some motivation that will make us actually focus. That's what we need. If only we had the motivation. We know everything. Therefore, I guess there are no questions because you already know everything. But if someone wants to ask a question just to enlighten me, that would be nice. Yes, sir. You have a hint, and I guess you're getting a microphone.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class. It is definitely important, for me at least, to make sure that when I'm reading, I do dig deep to try and get the gems, as Rescriber often says, as well as yourself. One thing you mentioned is about there being two aspects to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, one being the tattva. I just wanted to understand what the second was.
Yeah, well, there's tattva and ras. So tattva means the philosophy is crystal clear, and the ras, or that which predominates spiritual relationships, which predominates the spiritual world, loving exchange in different mellows, and various ways to increase those mellows. And that is the spiritual world. Here in the material world, everything, we are imitating, trying to get some ras, some juice out of life. But then in the material world, everything is limited by time, especially time, place, and time, space, and thought, Yamuna Acharya says. So, by time, therefore, everything here, we're always facing that everything is destroyed. So, we are imitating spiritual ras or spiritual mellows by interacting with the material energy. And, it's so good. But time is destroying everything. In the spiritual world, time is subservient, right? Said time is absent, but in another way, there is sequence. You know, there is like leaving the house, there is returning, there's sequence of events, right? So it looks like time, but it's not ruling. It lasts as long as Krishna wants, or as long as Vrindadevi wants, as long as it's good for the ras. Ras predominates. in spiritual relationships, that's what predominates, the loving exchange. It is said that a devotee who is properly understanding Krishna consciousness, will not pray to Krishna for anything else. Oh Lord, give me health. Oh Lord, give me wealth. Oh Lord, give me... Such a devotee is only praying for devotional service. Right? And says this devotee doesn't want anything other than devotional service. But there is a little more that the devotee wants. Not only devotional service, but the devotee also wants to see a glimmer in Krishna's eyes, recognizing that devotional service. Yeah. It's like when the mothers in Vrindavan are making lunch packages for the cowherd boys. Each son has a lunch packet. You think these mothers don't know that the boys steal each other's lunch packages? Of course they know. Mothers know everything. That's their business, right? Yes. You know, the original police is the mother. Even Mother Yasoda, open your mouth. What's there? Eating clay. Checking it out. So, the mothers know very well that the boys steal each other's lunch packages. So they hope that Krishna will somehow or other steal the lunch packet of their boy. And they hope that Krishna then will dip his hand in that lunch packet and will just take a bite out of that samosa. And therefore, they pack these lunch packages with super samosas. Not just for their boys, but in the hope that Krishna will somehow or other take take a bite. And when he does, when they'll hear, today Krishna just stole my lunch packet, and he just took a bite out of the samosa, that's when these ladies will roll on the ground in the greatest ecstasy. So this kind of, this is what the devotees desire, service to Krishna, and also that Krishna reciprocates and recognizes that service. The gopis, they just did exactly that. Krishna was hiding from the Rasadas, but he could no longer hide. He had to come back. First they were looking for him, then they met Lord Narayan. Oh, paid obeisances. Oh, dear Lord Narayan, please accept our most humble obeisances, dear Supreme Personality of Godhead. Have you seen Krishna? Yes. And Lord Narayan, with four hands. No, I don't know. but then Krishna was hiding in the form of Lord Narayan. He had hidden himself in the form of his expansion. But he could not maintain that. That's Ras. The gopis, they purchased Krishna. So, in this way we see how the Chaitanya Charitamrita is churning this Ras and gives us a deep insight in what it's like and what love of God really is like. We see it in Tattva, explained in philosophy, and we see it in the ecstatic symptoms of the devotees and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's acting like a devotee. In this way, we see Ras and Tattva.
Thank you, Maharaj. Second question. In terms of the Tattva side, like oftentimes, especially with Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll find sections which are pure philosophy. And trying to find the mood of really wanting to go deeper and actually, like at least for myself, if I come across, say, like Bhagavad Cosmology or something like that, it's like, it goes over the head. So trying to find the motivation to read it and actually understand it or go deeper isn't really there. I don't know if...
Sometimes you need help of some friends, you know. So sometimes we need courses. Sometimes we need... I mean, there's a school of bhakti these days. It's like, you know. So there's help. Burijan Prabhu started the VIHE, started higher education. He's really like the founder of higher education in this movement. He has written books also on unveiling his lotus feet and a couple of others about giving more insights in the Bhagavatam. Like that. There's help. And that helps to become motivated. There's a Burijan also did the whole Bhagavatam in overviews, not only in writing, but also in lectures that are still out there on Sri Internet, and you can surely, you or your little brother can surely download them. If you can find them, then usually the kids can. Yes, sir.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Thanks so much for the class. I had a question, Maharaj. You know, in my experience, we see many devotees or some devotees who are practicing or doing so many things but are saying that they're not happy in their Krishna consciousness. So my question is, when Krishna is talking about this process of devotion, you know, being susukam, being blissful or like ever enjoyable, what kind of bliss is he talking about?
You know, there are different stages in devotional service. Of course, adosha, datata, sarusanga. First, there is the initial phase. We start to associate with devotees. We start to regular practice, bhajana kriya, then anartanaviti, the long purification, you know, the washing, you know, It's like spinning around in the washing machine called Anartanavriti. After that, you know, when it actually starts to get clean, then you get Nista and, you know, like 60%, 70% purified, Prabhupada says. Then, you know, more purification and Ruchi starts to come, and that's where the bliss comes in. So most of us are not there at Ruchi. Therefore, most of us are not happy in our Krishna consciousness, and we're not supposed to be. We're not supposed to be happy. We're supposed to be smart. This is the age. You're supposed to be smart. Everything is smart. Yeah? And, you know, we're also meant to be smart. Yes, we're meant to simply, for now, we try to focus on knowledge and situate ourselves in knowledge and understand why are we doing this. And some tastes comes every once in a while, drops of mercy, and there are moments, you know, like during Rati Yatra, right, everyone is in ecstasy. Generally speaking, nobody bloops during the Sunday program, during the Sunday feast, you know, like when it's a big feast. Usually Tuesday or Wednesday is a good day to sort of throw in the towel, right? You know, you wouldn't do that in the middle of the party. So we get inspiration, lots of tastes, but there's also the grind. You know, I just finished my rounds, or I just almost finished my rounds yesterday, and now today I have 28 to chant. Oh, God. Stuff like this. So there's also, so we need knowledge. At this stage, we need to cultivate knowledge so that we get motivation from there. And then association. And then these moments, you know, the festivals and the fun and this, that. And that will keep us going. A Mongolartic sweet. You know, just when it gets too much, take one Mongolartic sweet. immediately. That helps. Okay. I'll carry on. Yes. But over time, this funny feeling starts to come. And what is that, you know? It's the beginning of happiness. My God, what's happening to me? I mean, I'm getting happy. It's very strange. It happens. And so it happens. So it happens. Don't worry. Yes, I have a bit of a stick neck, so I can't see you, but just... I'm looking straight, but I'm listening.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You mentioned in your presentation, in your class, that let us serve Krishna according to Kala Desha Patra, according to time, place, and circumstances. So my question is, how can devotees become very sensitive towards dealing with situations, either in the devotional life or in material life, according to this principle, time, place, and circumstances? How can we purify ourselves to become experts with dealing with these things?
I think Kala Desha Patra is a descending process. It begins with the acharya and the acharyas, you know. It begins with, and let's begin with the founder acharya, who gave us the clear vision, right, of what to do. So he identified Kala Desha Patra first of all. Then Kala Desha Patra comes down to the leading Vaishnavas who provide vision, yeah? Additional vision. Then it comes down to senior devotees who will provide vision because of their experience and their realizations. Then finally, when we absorb all these things, you know, Prabhupada coming down through current leaders coming down to senior Vaishnavas coming down to just the devotees. Yes, then we can. Then we have the foundation to start dealing with detailed situations and adjust according to the situation. Yes, but only then, if we first, if we see how it descends and we align ourselves with that descending vision. Yeah. It's very important that we align ourselves with the descending vision as it comes down through the parampara. And I think then that will give us the framework, and within that we can use our own intelligence and creativity and we'll find some sort of line to sell the books, you know, or whatever. But in line with the greater vision. So that integrity is very much needed to align ourselves. Okay, I think I should.
One more question.
I hear you, but I can't see you.
Just this side.
Yeah, my neck can't turn.
Marge, you were mentioning about chanting 16 rounds. So sometimes living outside, time is sometimes quite tight. So sometimes you see devotees chanting while they're driving. Or you see devotees chanting during class.
Chanting during class.
So I was wondering.
Everybody gets caught sometimes, even the swamis. I was super busy, and it was a day, so many initiations. And the devotee asked, "Do you want to do the yajna?" And I said, "No, that's okay. You do the yajna." And, okay, so they wanted me to throw grains. I said, "No, I'll just add the Maha Mantra to the yajna." And I chanted japa during the yajna. And I managed 5 rounds. So, everyone has to sometimes do some emergency chanting. That may be chanting while driving, chanting while flying, chanting while, you know, while being totally finished and lying on your bed and just like, it's dear devotees, I understand it all, right? Been there, done that, right? But that can never become the modus operandi if that is the way we chant our rounds on a regular basis. Then we are in trouble. Yeah. That sometimes the modes of material nature cook it up, you know, and just cook up some circumstances which are like overwhelming. You know, and then there was COVID. And some devotees were really sick. And they lost their taste, which is probably one of the worst things a devotee could happen to a devotee. No more burfi. What you going to do? So that's a major disaster. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, hope the taste is back. Well, if you lost your taste and still not back, we'll pray to Krishna for you, because that's serious. But you see the point. The point is, if it regularly happens that our rounds are suffering due to so much to do, then it looks to me that it's time to make some serious changing in our life. Then it looks time to reorganize our life. We somewhere taken a turn that wasn't healthy, and it's good to make another turn, even a U-turn if you have to. Of course, it's drastic when you have to turn, but still, a U-turn may be needed sometimes. Yeah. hope I answered the question because I didn't let you finish the question. Was it okay?
No, it's good. Thank you, Maharaj.
I thank you also. And it's not easy. It's not easy. I can also, we can't do magic, right? I cannot make life, I cannot make it easy. There is a struggle. Of course, this struggle is also in the design of the material world. It's also there to activate us. You read it in Vaikuntha, the ladies are sweeping the palace, but there is no dust. Yeah? There's no dust. They just sweep because they want to serve the Lord. We wouldn't sweep at all if there was no dust. So we do need... So there has to be some dust, you know. There has to be some trouble, yes, what to do. Some struggle has to be there. Otherwise, you know, I traveled once on a first class air-conditioned train in India, you know, almost as expensive as a plane, because I was carrying a suitcase of money. And there was only two people in the compartment, and my co-traveler, you have in that... compartment, you have a personal servant. So he's ringing the bell all the time. Servant comes, yes, sir. And he's asking for another pillow. And he's just propping himself up with more and more pillows. As it's like, and I looked at him, and it looked like he had no spine. He looked like a jellyfish. I'm sorry. I don't want to offend the man, but he did look like a blob. You know. So, don't be a spiritual blob. So, Krishna has arranged it, that there is some struggle. And it's like yoga. God, do you also hate yoga? I do. Yes. Hatha yoga. Oh, gosh. And touch your toes with the tip of your nose and all these things. Ay, ay, ay. But then when you do it, after a while you actually start to feel a little better. Right? You do. Yes. So struggle is there, makes us stronger. If it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. I've taken a lot of time. The reason why I did that, because it didn't come for 2 years. So I felt I can steal a little extra time since I missed many opportunities. So forgive me for upsetting the schedule. I don't know what if anyone gets upset, you know, in the kitchen or elsewhere. I'm so sorry for rocking the boat, but my spiritual master told me once, if you give a lecture and nobody gets upset, then you should know you're doing something wrong. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.